She's excused.
Okay. Ellen Shaker.
She's also excused. And so is Linda Rusch. And they have given their proxies to Philip Shepherd.
This is just to clarify. So the IP constituency has given its proxy to a representative of the business constituency?
Yes, because there's no one there from their constituency.
Sure. Thanks.
Amadea?
Yes.
Demi?
Yes.
Alec Wilson?
Sorry, is that me, Alec?
Yes. Okay. Audrey?
Yeah.
And Thomas Rossler?
Yes.
Good. Okay, I think we've got just about everybody other than the intellectual property constituency, Kerry and Grimes and Gabrielle. Okay, well, the basic agenda that I'd like to work to on this meeting is first have input from Paul Toomey from ICANN on his request for policy development in the area of registry services. Then we will address the motion and hear arguments for and against the motion. If the motion passes, then I'd like a discussion on the sort of issues we would like the issues report to cover so that we can provide some initial thoughts to Paul and the ICANN staff. And finally, any discussions relating to planned meetings schedules for the meeting in Carthage, and I'll quickly run through other agenda items for Carthage in terms of preparation. So if I can start with...
Who's that?
From CCTLD?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, hi, good, thanks. Okay, if I can just hand it across to you then, Paul Toomey, to give, I guess, your view on the question that you want the council to consider.
John Jeffries here also.
Oh, good, John. Thank you.
Thanks, Bruce. John Bristol, can I just ask the status of the letter? Can I just ask you the status of the letter?
The letter has been forwarded to Bruce.
I haven't seen it.
It's a draft letter that was forwarded to Bruce.
Sorry, Bruce.
I was just going to say, I think you're just going to have to talk to it, Paul, because I haven't got it. Unless you want me to forward it to everybody on council, or if I could find it.
I think what I might do is I might get John just to quickly read it.
Yeah, I think that would be good.
Oh, there's music.
Yes, that's right.
Are we going to be reading it to the tune of Iron Butterfly in the back?
It sounds like it, yeah. Yeah, John, if you can find that.
I've heard of a hard read, but a hard rock is. Yeah.
So, John Jeffrey, are you available to read that letter?
Yes, actually, I'm pulling it out of my bag. I apologize for being in the airport at this particular moment. Okay. Can everyone hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
The letter is from Paul to Bruce Tonkin as the chair of the GNSO Council. And it says, I hereby make a formal request to the GNSO Council. A GNSO policy development process designed to produce...
Just hold on a second, John, and just focus the background noise.
Sorry about that. I hereby make a formal request to the GNSO Council that it commence a GNSO policy development process designed to produce recommendations to the Board for a timely, transparent, and predictable process for dealing with proposed actions by TLD registries that could impact the operational stability, reliability, security, or global interoperability of the DNS, that registry, or the Internet. This would include, but not necessarily be limited to, the introduction of new services by such registries that, because of their architecture and operation, could have such impact. As aware, the various registry agreements between operators of TLD registries and ICANN prohibit the offering of a fee of any registry service as defined in the agreement, and are not specified in the agreement, including its appendices. We have two recent examples where these contractual provisions have come into play. So-called and waitlisting products created by VeriSign, the registry operator for .com and .net. Similar issues could easily arise in the future with registries. Our experience to date makes it clear that there is a need for more to be given to the appropriate processes. In analogous circumstances that might have similar effects. Under Section 1B of the GNSO policy development process, GNSO Council may initiate a policy development process. Once supported by an appropriate motion from the GNSO Council, the staff manager will create an issues report to be developed on or before the 15th day following the properly supported motion. This issues report will set out the clear ties to ICANN's mission and will follow the guidelines provided within the PDP. The issues here are important and complex. Actions taken by a TLD operator, operational stability, reliability, security, or global interoperability of the Internet should be carefully reviewed before they are implemented to ensure that any adverse impact is either eliminated or minimized. But stating this principle, with which most would surely agree, leaves unanswered many specific questions about the appropriate way to reach this objective. Any process created to deal with these issues must recognize the legitimate competitive interests of the registry operator, the legitimate interests of third parties in the stable operation of the DNS, the registry and the Internet, and the derivative actions or reactions that such a change might produce. In addition, it must create accountability within a clear and transparent process. These goals may occasionally or frequently be in tension. There may also be wide variations in opinions on the likelihood of adverse impacts on the various parties and networks that might be affected. Finally, consideration must be given to how to create such a process without leaving it open to capture or undue influence by existing or potential competitors of the registry operator, or an unnecessary disclosure of confidential information.
Okay, is that finished, John?
And then it goes into an analysis of the missions, which is about one more page. Should I go forward?
Yep, go ahead.
Protecting the operational stability, reliability, security, and global interoperability of the Internet is, of course, the principal mission of ICANN, as set forth in our bylaws. And then it quotes from the bylaws, the mission of the Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers is to support at the overall level the global Internet systems of unique identifiers, and in particular to ensure the stable and secure operation of the Internet's unique identifier systems. The goal is repeated in the core values of ICANN as set forth in the bylaws. Indeed, the very first core value is, number one, preserving and enhancing the operational stability, reliability, security, and global interoperability of the Internet. But other relevant core values counsel great care in seeking that objective. These include the following. Number two, respecting the creativity, innovation, and flow of information made possible by the Internet by limiting ICANN's activities to those matters within ICANN's mission, requiring or significantly benefiting from global coordination. Number five, where feasible and appropriate, depending on market mechanisms to promote and sustain a competitive environment. Number six, introducing and promoting competition in the registration of domain names where practicable and beneficial to the public interest. Finally, other core values speak to the processes that should be used to reach these objectives, including number four, seeking and supporting broad informed participation, reflecting the functional, geographic, and cultural diversity of the Internet at all levels of policy development and decision-making. Number seven, employing open and transparent policy development mechanisms that promote well-informed decisions based on expert advice, And ensure that those entities affected, most affected, can assist in the policy development process.
Does the person on the airline have a mute button?
Unfortunately, that's me.
It's comforting to hear that at least you're leaving on time, John.
Or that's the other airline. Number 8, making decisions by applying documented policies neutrally and objectively with integrity and fairness. Number 9, acting with a speed that is responsive to the needs of the Internet, while as part of the decision-making process, obtaining informed input from those entities most affected. And number 10, remaining accountable to the Internet community through mechanisms that enhance ICANN's effectiveness. Finally, the bylaws recognize the difficulties in seeking to conform to these core values in the wide variety of fact situations where they may be deployed, and provide guidance in how to deal with tensions or inconsistencies that may be present in some situations. We urge the GNSO to follow this guidance and to take advantage of all of ICANN's staff resources. Staff is committed to assist you in any way possible, including providing and seeking expert advice on specific issues that may arise as part of this PDP. I request that the PDP be conducted as quickly as possible under the GNSO's new streamlined process and that it be completed no later than 15 January 2004. Your help in addressing these real issues facing the Internet community will provide a valuable service to ICE. And that's the end.
Okay, thanks, John. Paul, did you want to make some just general comments on the letter?
Sure. The letter's fairly lengthy, but it's important to put some of the guiding issues that come out of the mission down on paper to help you. But let's be quite clear about what the request is directed towards. At the moment, the registry agreements for the implementation of new registry services, under those agreements, is a requirement for approval by ICANN. What we're directed this PDP towards is actually helping to clarify the steps that need to be taken for that approval to be granted, and to help sort of both triage what are the aspects of a particular service being proposed, and then what steps of consultation or otherwise need to be taken for the service to be introduced, to be approved for its introduction. Let's be quite clear about a couple of things. This is a request that's directed towards a dialogue that takes place between the registries and the ICANN staff function under the registry agreements. It is not the establishment of an ongoing process of policy making. So this is an appropriate use of the PDP in terms of helping a request from the President for guidance and policy on how those steps, what steps should be followed, how they should be followed. But it's not in any sense an introduction of the policy forum part of ICANN into the regular process of interaction and determination that takes place between the ICANN staff function and the registries. That's for a number of reasons. It's, the processes are actually not the implementation of new services is actually not a policy issue. How one goes about it is a policy issue, but the process of each one is not one. Secondly, and this is very important, I think, for the GNSO Council to realise, is that at the heart of the decision-making process, service by service, is the process whereby a independent, neutral third party makes the decision. The ICANN staff and the ICANN board do not consist of parties that would be either competitors or have downstream relationships with a registry. And that's at the core structure of the ICANN and the registry agreements. And so I just want to clarify that point. So while this is a request for a policy member, advice on what steps should be taken, how we should go about this. It's not a process of unleashing a series of PDPs on us to be able to in this that are important issues that have emerged around things like, for instance, competition, and also potentially things around how does a registry introduce a service in a true market environment where confidentiality may be important for their business needs. Those sorts of issues are the sort of issues that we think are quite appropriate to receive expert advice on the competition issue, for instance, potentially from some of the competition agencies, either in Europe or the United States or elsewhere, who can actually give formal advice or contribution on the competition issues as they arise. And secondly, potentially people like the FCC or others who might be able to give advice on processes of the degrees of confidentiality required and how other industries operate within confidential environments while at the same time having consultation. So there's a couple of those issues where I think we think it would be appropriate to have independent outside expert advice. And the rationale for the inquiry as a whole the request for the PDP as a whole, comes from dialogues that I, the president, have had with nearly all of the registries since I came to the position, and probably also reactions from some of from the board on occasions of that there is a need for greater clarification of what are the steps that need to be taken, and that's been on the agenda for some time. The dialogue between ICANN and VeriSign on the wildcard and SkyFinder service has accelerated or initiated this request, but this request is something which was considered to be on the agenda and it meets a broad range of issues, and this is not something which is related to SkyFinder. This is a more generic need. So that's probably some first introductions, I think.
Okay, thanks for that, Paul. What I'd like to do now is just offer the opportunity to ask questions.
Can I just ask one more thing? One of the very important principles, and certainly is the principle which the staff approach any request on these sort of matters, is the letter outlines in some detail the sorts of things that ICANN needs to be concerned about and the sorts of things that are related around the stability and other values that are in the bylaws. And it was important to make those, I think, somewhat clear. But this is not a problem. I'm quite clear about the values, the broader values applied here. This is not an exercise that ICANN staff or when approached by registry come in with a hypothesis of how do we thwart this service, how do we stop it at all, if anything else, it's the opposite. So I just want to also emphasize that this is not a... I do not see it would be very disappointed if I saw a sort of behavior which was all about how do we preserve in some sort of static format what registries do. This is a process about how do people go forward and introduce services and have that done in the appropriate way.
Okay, that's good. Now, what I'd like to do now then is just open a queue for people to ask questions, not suggest policy results, but ask questions just to clarify if there's anything you haven't understood from either the letter read out by John Jeffrey or the comments by Paul Teamy. So who would like to join the queue?
Yeah, would you put me in the queue, Bruce?
Yeah.
Me too, Bruce. Jeff Newman.
Yep. Anyone else?
Yeah, this is Milton.
Okay, Milton. Anyone else? Okay, go ahead, Ken.
Yeah, this is just a very quick question. How soon we're going to be able to get the letter so that we can look at it a little more closely? It's kind of hard to absorb everything there.
I think we should have letter to you within... my guess is within in a formal finalized state, and
Okay. Jeff, can you hear me?
Actually, I think I'm going to, I think that pretty much was my question too, so I'll bow out for now.
Okay.
Amadeo wants to make a question.
I'll put Amadeo in the list. Milton?
Yes, Paul, I'm curious, when you talk about there's no PDP by the GNSO every time a new service is introduced, what you're talking about then is some kind of a determination by the ICANN staff and board?
Well, Milton, that's actually what happens now. Application services by registries are introduced, registry service is defined in the contracts, something that requires approval by ICANN. There's an ICANN interpretation of the interaction with the contracts, the signature of the contracts. The present process is whereby services have been introduced and there's been feedback from the community. The waitlisting service being an example, that wasn't under a PDP process, it was actually under an open mic forum in one of the meetings. So it's not a change in what the present process is.
Okay, so my question then is, hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Would you accept as an outcome of this process something that tells you, it seems like you're assuming some kind of advance ruling by the staff or the board under rules determined by the GNSO. And I want to know whether the GNSO is within the contemplated determination that you're asking us to do. For the GNSO to tell you, don't have an advance process, look at a service, try to define the contracts better in such a way that if somebody does something like SiteFinder that you think is disruptive of the internet, you have basically the legal authority to say this is a violation of the contract. Is that within our purview, or are you telling us we specifically have to give you advice on how to do an advance process?
Well, I'm not certain it's an advance process. I would argue that to be truthful, the proposition we made then, which was this is a breach, therefore don't go ahead, is a power that sits with the actually sits with both sides on the contract, and certainly sits with the ICANN now with the registry agreements. What we're trying to address is, and we're hoping that with the GNSO PDP will address is, what are the steps that a registry needs to follow, and that the staff need to follow to ensure that the service can be introduced and be introduced in a way which is consistent with those concerns and values outlined in the letter. And that it's probably also not going to be one size fits all, because some types of services will pass through an initial test very quickly and some will not. I mean, if I can just use a sort of an example for one of this might be does the service actually it will depend upon changes to the way in which the registry responses work, or changes to the way in which the registry protocols are working, or something like that. That's sort of a service that might have a certain stream of things that people in consultation need to require. If it doesn't do that, then the next stage might question might be, does it do this, does it do that? No, fine, then. I'm just making this up on the fly, but so I'm saying it probably may not be a one size fits all type process at all, and there might be some sort of many types of services which are just very simple and about the other ones which don't. I mean, I think it's the purpose of asking is to say what are the
what are the steps and what are the consultations that are required for what types of things, just to give greater predictability and...
Okay, I think I understand. Thanks. Yeah. I have one other question, but do you want me to get back in the queue, or can I ask it now?
Ask it now, move on.
Okay. What do you perceive as the reason for the accelerated timetable that you're asking for? In other words, you're asking for a very rapid decision on a very fundamental issue, as opposed to something like the new TLD process, which has been sort of sitting around for more than a year now. Why are you throwing this to the front of the queue? What is the justification for the priority that you're giving it, other than SiteFinder, which, you know, is the horse is already out of the barn?
I think it's just the SiteFinder and other recent requests for registry service changes. The dot name request, the dot pro request for amendments to services, but just highlighted, I think, for the board and the staff and that this is an issue which is very important, and in it also has cascading effects back up on those people trying to run those businesses. So that's why we think it's extra important to accelerate it. And this has real effect on people running real businesses now.
Okay. So
those people who are running registries and people who are dependent on the registry, what the registry did.
Okay, I'll move on to Almadea. You had a question?
Yes. Sorry if that was already answered because I lost the sound for some minutes. But my question is fairly simple and technical. We have a motion here requesting the staff manager for doing something. Do we already have a staff manager for these GNSO issues?
Amadeo, there is actually a person that we're looking at who's going to actually assist further on GNSO issues, but this will also be assisted by the General Counsel.
I'm
not announcing the name of that person because it's actually...
The concept of staff manager is really a generic term because we've had motions in the past, in fact, issues reports that have been produced by the so-called staff manager in the past. That includes the Who Is Privacy report and also the EDRP report. It's not really seen as being an actual individual. I think it's more of a function. It's a bit like saying IANA needs to do something, and it's up to the ICANN staff to work out who actually does that.
Sure. The question is whether we have the human resources available or we are sending the ball into an empty corner. That was my question, right? So if you say that, you know, that's it and that's you, that's perfectly okay.
Yeah, it's a good question, and we do have the resources.
Bruce, could I get you on the list, please?
You go ahead, Philip.
Just really a question possibly for you, Bruce, and or Paul. You had tabled a motion earlier for this call. We've now heard the letter and discussion that Paul has transmitted. Is the motion that you have originally tabled fully compatible with that letter, or is there going to be a need to amend it?
My belief is the motion is compatible because that letter is just setting out the reasons and the context of Paul's request. I think the motion is fairly simple. The motion states the GNSO Council requests that the staff manager produce an issues report consistent with the mission and core values of ICANN on the need for a predictable procedure for the introduction of new registry services.
Excellent. I'm very happy to hear you say that, Bruce.
Yeah.
Just wanted that clarification before
What I think, once we've had a chance to see the final letter, that will help provide more comments to, let's call it the staff manager function, as to what issues we'd like to see addressed in the issues report. Okay. Any other questions?
This is Jordan with a quick question.
Yeah, go ahead, Jordan.
In the letter, and I think maybe in the motion as well, there's reference to a rather expedited process with a date of January 15th, 2004, I believe, listed. And I believe, based on what we've seen so far, I chaired one of the first PDP processes under the new PDP. Or a task force that operated under it, and based on what we've seen on the Whois side so far, I think there's little reason to believe that it's actually possible to complete a PDP process in such a compressed amount of time. And I wonder if Paul could tell us what the implications are one way or the other in terms of meeting that particular date.
Well, it'll be certainly my reading of the PDP process is that it should be completed. It's feasible to have it completed within 90 days, going through the diaphragms and sitting within the finals.
Yeah, I'd echo Jordan's comment that our experience in the past has been difficult, but yes,
Bruce,
I'm sceptical that that's achievable.
Yeah, Bruce, can I get an excuse to comment about time frame?
About what, sorry, Marilyn?
About time frame.
Yes, go ahead, Marilyn.
I'm very sympathetic to the need to move expeditiously, and yes, Paul, you're quite right that the PDP process calls for a 90-day period. When some of us were on the assistance group, we did point out the challenges with that time frame. I think that this particular time frame might may be exceptionally challenged, not by the will, but by the holidays. And I just, you know, I just would suggest that even people of goodwill seem to take these family holidays at the end of the year. And the 15th is I support the need for moving quickly. I just think we really need to look first very, very carefully at how much time everyone will lose around the end of the year holiday period.
This is Jeff, if I can get in the queue.
Yeah, and that. Jordan, one more time. After
just before I continue with the queue, let's be clear. I don't think we should really try and set a date. I think what we're trying to do is just manage expectations that there's
right.
a possibility that the date may not be met. So let's not try and actually pick a date in this call.
Right.
So that was Jordan and Jeff.
Sorry.
Yeah, Jeff is actually before me.
That's okay. I actually, maybe this is a little, even against a little bit what Jordan said, I kind of like the date in there because, or let's invoke the PDP under the current process. I know it's ambitious to get there, but no matter what date we set, we're gonna ask for an extension. It just generally happens, so I'd rather set the date earlier than later and ask for the extension at that point in time with what progress we've made. Otherwise, we set a further out date or a longer process, we don't meet that, and it ends up even being longer. So there's nothing wrong in my mind of setting a date and trying to get to it. If we don't, then asking for more time. The second point I have is actually on an unrelated issue, so I'll go back in the queue after this time issue is addressed.
Okay. Yep, go ahead, Jordan.
Yeah, I mean, I want to just, to a certain extent, echo what Marilyn said. We just keep in mind that the experience of the DELETES task force almost exactly replicates the time frame that we're talking about here, which is that essentially the PDP process was kicked off at the Shanghai meeting last year, so roughly a year ago. And for all practical purposes, the work of the task force wasn't able to get underway until the start of January, or mid-January when people had returned from holidays. So, I think after that we moved along quite expeditiously, and I think, you know, if you look at the new PDP process certainly can be accomplished, I think, much more rapidly than what we've seen in the past. But I think one glaring issue has been we do need to make sure, Paul, that there is sufficient staff support throughout the process, not just in terms of the issues of the initial issues paper, but throughout the process. If there's not extensive staff support, then it really puts a large burden upon the participants in the on the task force in order to be able to meet any of the dates listed.
I'm very conscious of that. I can assure you there will be actually full-time dedicated staff support for this.
We have a question for Paul about consequences directly related to this. Can I ask that?
In the terms of the timing?
Well, here's my question. One of the things I'm concerned about is that if we commit to a time frame and we don't deliver, what consequences does that mean to the introduction of a service by someone because that date has not been met?
If I can call a spade, there are three services presently before ICANN under the present registry, under the registry agreement.
Jeff, you had another question?
Yeah, I just wanted to offer a, and I mentioned this to Paul and to John, I think that the way the letter was structured was for all TLD services, and I think we need to, I have to step in for Carrie here and basically say that it should be only unsponsored registries and not for sponsored registries, because by contract, ICANN has delegated all ability to introduce registry services for sponsored TLDs to the sponsor itself. And so I would ask for that clarification on their behalf.
Jeff, thanks for that. I think actually if what we'll be let's very careful about and remain very careful about is the definitions put in contracts. And if the contracts are different, then they're different. If they're not, they're not. So I think the fund, I think if on the letter actually had it actually puts the language in there about what's the definition, but we'll make sure that it's accurate. And if that's the key point.
Yeah, that's okay. I think was Ken also in the queue. Doesn't sound like it. Okay, I think that's probably time now then to move on from the questions and then onto the motion before the council. The motion I have drafted presently reads, the GNSO Council requests that the staff manager produce an issues report consistent with Article 1, mission and core values of ICANN's bylaws on the need for a predictable procedure for the introduction of new registry services as defined in the GTLD registry agreements. Now that's, I guess, a motion from the Chair. I would first like to ask if there's a seconder for that motion.
I'll second it, Bruce. Marilyn.
That was Marilyn?
Marilyn.
Okay. And now I'd like to, again, form a queue of people that would like to speak either for or against that motion.
This is Jordan. I'd like to be in the queue.
Okay, Jordan. Anyone else?
I'll be in the queue. It's Marilyn.
Yes. Anyone else?
Yeah, this is Milton.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay, go ahead, Jordan.
Sure. I think, let me start off by saying I'm not hugely troubled by the specific motion before us in that it asks for an issues report, and I think that the GTLD constituency has identified some concerns we have about moving on with the PDP process, and it's perhaps possible that some of those concerns will be addressed and some enlightenment will be given to us in terms of whether it makes sense to progress along the PDP path. But I just want to make a slightly broader comment, which is that I think that some recent events with SiteFinder and with other introduction of registry services, I think highlights that perhaps the current GTLD contracts, and this probably applies across the board, maybe less so to the sponsored registries than to the unsponsored, but certainly applying both to the new GTLDs as well as .NET, I believe that the registries are the registry contracts are fundamentally flawed in that a huge amount of ink in these contracts is devoted to issues that essentially have very little to do with the community interest of stability, security, and so on with regards to the internet, and a relatively small portion of the ink in the contract. And I think perhaps it's evident from the SiteFinder appearance that not enough ink in the contract is dedicated to actually making sure that it's possible for ICANN to preserve the stability of the Internet through enforcement of its contract alone. And I think to that extent that there's more than just this one issue in, you know, with regards to the introduction of registry services. The contracts ought to be fundamentally revisited and rethought, and this should be perhaps a first step along that path, but I think it's hard to deal with this issue in isolation without a sort of broader rethinking about what all we've set up in terms of the way that we deal with registry ICANN interaction. So that's just sort of a general meta thought that I'd like to throw out so we don't get sort of too bogged down in the yeah. details when there's some broader issues that have to be dealt with.
But the comment I would make on that, Jordan, is I think Milton's raised the issue earlier in the call about new top-level domains, but I suspect that the current structure of the contracts for GTLD operators, that's something that the GNSO Council may well revisit as part of looking at a process for introducing new GTLDs, and we can sort of review that overall context at that time.
Yeah, well, I think actually Milton made the exact point that I would hope to earlier, which is that, you know, ideally speaking, ICANN wouldn't need to go in and sort of review each registry service
yeah.
to see whether or not it was, you know, a good idea or not. Ideally speaking, the contract would spell out pretty clearly a minimum level of stability that is required in order to get good operation and or have some procedures to, you know, rapidly react to a circumstance in which that's not met. And sort of a lot of the other ink and a lot of the other shenanigans that we go through in terms of, you know, is this a good, you know, business idea and, you know, how is it going to affect, you know, various interests, you know, various all sorts of different people and, you know, going through 100 steps in order to introduce any little service, I think just points to a flaw in terms of how this is conceptualized. And maybe a place to start with it is the new GTLDs, but as long as you've got legacy contracts that apply to the largest existing incumbent registries, then you're going to continue to have the problems.
Yeah, and I think that's right. So a possible outcome of the policy might be this is a procedure that ICANN should use with the current contracts as they are, but that policy should be sort of, if you like, hard-coded into the new agreements in such a way that you know, it can be done fairly objectively and doesn't involve you know, complex processes and so on. But I think that's something that, as a general thing, could be considered as part of the terms of reference of a future policy development that might occur as an outcome of the issues report. Just to be clear in terms of the process here is that we're commissioning an issues report. Out of that issues report, the council will need to meet again and decide whether the council believes the policy development process is appropriate. And also we would need to define terms of reference if we were to go ahead with the policy process. And we could be quite specific in those terms of reference about what's in scope and out of scope. And that's really what we've been trying to do with the who is topics, is really get the terms of reference right before we jump into a policy development process. Marilyn, you were in the queue.
I was, and it was my intent to speak in support of the motion, which I will do after I make the following comment. I've just observed a discussion which is... I don't really think appropriate to have at this time without an understanding that users have perspectives on the stability and security, et cetera, as well. So I really would prefer that we put off any discussion about what belongs, about the broader issue that's been raised. I take note of it, I listen to it, but I'd prefer we focus on the work at hand because I think there's maybe a wide set of perspectives about the purpose of contracts in lieu of government regulation, et cetera, and I prefer we try to stay very positive and very focused. So I will do what I intended to do, which is to speak in support of a motion to call for an issues report that follows the timeline laid out by the chair. First of all, we get an issues report, then we assess, then we determine what to go forward with.
Okay, Milton.
Yes, I guess I could support this resolution, but I sent a proposed amendment to the Names Council list some time ago, maybe an hour ago, and it hasn't popped up yet, as far as I can see.
Yep, I've just seen it, Milton.
Oh, okay.
I've got it, Milton.
I'll give you my quick comment on the amendment. I'll just read it out. It says, to add to the motion, the issues report should consider the advantages and disadvantages of reviewing new registry services ex post or ex ante, whether rules should be different for dominant and non-dominant players, and who should make the initial determination of whether a new service qualified as a registry service. I think my comment on the amendment, Milton, is I would prefer we break it into two parts, that we first have a motion on an issues report and then we discuss what we want to have in the issues report. And I would think that it may not be necessary to have a motion to deal with your particular issue. We can just ask John to take that on board and to consider it in the issues report.
That would be okay. I would simply, at this stage, after listening to Jordan's comments, I would add something into there about whether indeed improvement of the GTLD contract is a better way to address the problems. I think that's generally my perspective on this is that it's we are basically taking a or in danger of taking. I'm not sure, really, frankly, what Paul is asking us to do when I hear him, and I haven't seen this letter. But what I'm afraid of is that everybody's in an outrage about the site finder, therefore we're going to close the barn door after the horse has escaped, and we're going to convince ourselves that ICANN can become a regulator which reviews in the fashion of a public utility every service introduced by the regulated utility and approves it, and that will solve all of these problems. I much prefer the philosophy that Jordan articulated of if this is regulation by contract, then get the contracts right and give the players the freedom to do whatever is allowed by the contract, and if they violate the contract, then you have a legal cause of action against them. Now, it's true that in a technical sense, you may not be able to predict what might cause problems on the internet, but there are a lot of ways that people cause problems on the internet, and it's not clear to me that centralized regulation is always the best way to address that. But that, again, it's a very profound issue. This whole issue goes to the core of ICANN's identity as a regulatory body, and I just hope that we are very careful in how we approach that.
Jeff, okay. if I can be in the queue.
Yeah, Jeff. Anyone else want to be in the queue?
Philip.
Anyone else? Okay, go ahead, Jeff.
Two points. One is, can we please not use the term regulatory body or regulation when it comes into terms of ICANN? ICANN is not a regulatory body. As part of an organization, a company that deals with regulatory bodies, there is a major difference. And we need to get out of the mindset of thinking of ICANN as being a regulator. That was not the way ICANN was formed, that was not its role, and it's not its role now. We live by contracts. Every right passed on and every obligation is by contract. We've agreed to certain rules of the game, and yes, from time to time the rules have to be amended, but they are not, it's not a body that regulates over us as registries or as registrars or even as users. So we need to be careful in ever referring to it as a regulatory body. So I think in that respect I agree with Marilyn that should stay out of our conversations, and that's a much broader issue. The second thing is that if there is an issues report and if the GNSO Council is engaged in this process, what I would ask on behalf of a smaller or on behalf of a registry that is not the dominant registry player is that this process needs to be entered into without emotion, against what people view as a monopoly. There are even discussions today on whether there is or is not competition in the registry space as far as there being a monopoly dominant player. Whatever your opinions are, or whatever anyone in the internet community's opinions are towards VeriSign as being, the largest, needs to be put aside, because any rules that are agreed to affect all of the registries, inadvertently trying to get back at the dominant player in the industry could inadvertently kill the smaller of us. And yes, I do say smaller of us, even though we do have over 1 million registrations. So I would ask for those two things in going forward with this. Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff. Philip?
Thank you, Bruce. I think what we're all hearing on the call today is convergence towards the motion, Bruce, that you proposed, which I think is very, very encouraging. I'd like, I think, also to respond favorably to the point that Milton had made and also echo, Bruce, your suggestion that those form part of the sentiments in terms of our expectations as to what the support is, as indeed may the general content of the letter we heard from Paul, which again brought up around some of those same points. As we know, the issues report already had a context in which it is outlined in the general sense, and a lot of the things we've expressed already in this call, I think, will be incorporated in that. So I'm optimistic that what we'll get is something that will be well received. Perhaps it may be time to move to call the question.
Okay. I'll just see if there's anyone else that hasn't already spoken that would like to comment. Okay. I will then put the question. I'll read the motion out again, and then I'll ask each person to register their vote. The motion states that the GNSO Council requests that the staff manager produce an issues report consistent with Article 1, mission and core values of ICANN's bylaws on the need for a predictable procedure for the introduction of new registry services as defined in the GTLD registry agreements. So I will start with Philip Shepherd.
Just a point of order, I'm sorry.
Yep.
Did Milton make an official motion to add that, and then do we have to decide whether to add that to the motion first?
I was told to wait until the first motion had passed or not passed, which kind of
says that because that's the rule to you, Milton. I mean, if we are following rules of procedure, we can vote separately on whether we want to amend the motion first. But that was my suggestion. That's for you to decide what you want to do.
Yeah, I went along with your suggestion.
Okay. So we're going ahead with the motion. I'll ask again, Philip Shepherd.
My vote is yes.
Marilyn Kay?
Yes.
And for Grant Forsyth?
Yes.
Jeff Newman?
Abstain.
Okay. For Kerry Carr?
He's going to abstain as well.
Okay. Jordan?
Yeah, I'm going to abstain as well.
Okay. Tony Harris?
My vote is yes.
Okay. Tony Holmes?
My vote is yes.
Greg Ruth? So Greg Ruth is on the call. Okay. Does anyone have a proxy for Greg?
Okay. I would suggest, Bruce, that we go back to Greg in a moment.
Okay. I'll do that. Chan?
Abstain.
Milton Miller?
Abstain.
Okay. For Gabrielle?
Abstain as well.
Okay. Ken Stubbs?
In favor.
Thomas Keller?
In favor.
I will vote in favor. Now, Philip, you have proxies for Laurence?
I do. I have proxies, I think, for all three of the IP constituency, and I vote in favour for all three.
Okay. Amadea?
In favour.
Demi?
In favour.
Alec?
In favour.
Okay, and I'll come back to Greg Root.
In favour.
I 18 votes in favour, so the motion is carried. Now, what I would like to do then is to, I guess, talk a bit about the process. Are you still on the call, John Jeffrey?
It's Paul here, Bruce.
That's Paul. But my question...
Well, that's a quick question. I unfortunately have to take a daughter to school, so I'm going to...
Okay. Well, my quick question, and I guess I can take the feedback on this as the call goes on, but I guess, Paul, how would you see the process of the issues report being created? My sort of view is that you would post your letter to the ICANN website and people would see that, and I'm wondering whether it would be appropriate perhaps to open up some sort of public comment process for 7 days or so for people to raise issues they would like considered in that report. That's just a question for you, Paul, just on how you would see the issues report being created at this stage.
Sorry, John, were you going to...
Before Paul answers? May I ask you a question, Bruce, before Paul answers?
Are you asking me the question, Marilyn?
I am.
Yes, go ahead.
Under the PDP, and I'm sorry John is not here, but under the PDP, I don't recall that we take public comment before the issue report, or we take public comment after an issue report.
That is correct. I guess my concern, Marilyn, is that in the previous issues reports that have been created so far, they are working off a lot of existing material. So the Who Is Issues report had many Who Is Task Force reports and surveys and input, and so did UDRP. And I'm just wondering, and that's why I'm asking Paul the question, is there enough data out there for an issues report to be created, or would Paul find it useful for people to say, here's some things that might be considered? So over to Paul and John, or either.
Can I? It sounds like I'm dodging the issue, but what might be useful for us is to think about coming back to you when we come back with a formal letter, can you answer that question?
Yeah, sure. So I'm just sort of thinking, you know, as long as you know that you've got enough to go on to do that, and I think what I'd like to do just. And I understand that you need to leave, but just for the remainder of this council call, just to get a feeling from the council members on issues they'd like to raise. And we have one from Milton, and I'll certainly forward that on to the...
I certainly think we should get it from the council members, absolutely. And we have, as you'd expect, we'd have a lot of experience from the... from the other services over the last, you know, 2 years, 18 months, or whatever, of people's input has some of the issues that have been raised. And we can take those as inputs and put them in the, you know, put them in the issues report. Whether we need to have sort of those public comments.
We don't have to have, I'm just making that as an option.
Yeah. Well, let me just come back to you, I think. I'm on a public meeting too, it's just planning for you and the work starting, et cetera. So.
Yes, understand. Yeah. Okay, well, thanks, Paul. Bruce, so
put me in the queue, please.
What I'll do is I'll create a queue at this stage. What I might first do, I think Milton has already got one suggestion in there, and I might just get him to repeat that. And then I'll have you, Ken. Anyone else in the queue just to talk? This is to raise issues that you'd like to consider in the report.
Philip, with a point of order,
Milton speaks. Well, Bruce, can I just say farewell?
Yes, thank you, Paul.
Thanks for your point.
Philip, you have your point of order?
Yes, I quite understand the nature of any amendment that may be made by someone who has just abstained on the substantive motion.
This is not an amendment, Philip, to just clarify. This is issues to be raised.
Okay, well then,
staff manager, so I'm not creating in action.
In that case, I look forward to Milton's explanation as he introduces the subject.
Great, I will explain that in lurid detail. I will just bowl you over with convincing rhetoric, Philip.
I'm waiting.
The reason I abstained is because, first of all, need to do this, but if we are going to do it, I want to focus on the issues that I think are really the salient ones. And what I'm trying to do is make sure that the issues report addresses this, those issues. I think it's interesting that when Paul was on the line, he told us that the reason this was such a priority was because there were these poor businesses out there that had new services they wanted to introduce and didn't know how to do it. But I noticed that all of the registries did not seem too enthusiastic about the proposal, so I'm a little bit confused about what the motive for this is. But I do think there is a problem, and I agree with Jordan that the problem is that the registry contracts are focused too much on regulation, the favorite word of Jeff, and not enough focused on technical stability. So that what I'm proposing is, number one, I was trying to say badly what Jordan said better. You know, consider the advantages and disadvantages of reviewing new registry services ex post or ex ante. What I meant by that was, if you define the contracts right, somebody does something that truly destabilizes the internet or undermines the interests of users, then you should be able to sue them for a breach of contract without having to go through a review process and raising all of the problems of regulation. And Jeff, I'm sympathetic to what you're saying, but I don't think we change the nature of ICANN by refusing to call it a regulator. If it acts like a regulator by reviewing new services and ruling on whether they can be introduced, it seems to me to be a regulator.
Okay,
so the other thing I ask is whether the rules should be different for dominant or non-dominant providers. You know, are we going to be in a recursive loop in which somebody says this is a registry service, somebody else says no, it's not, so we don't have to go through this process? So who is going to be the person or the authority who makes the initial determination of whether a new service is indeed a registry service and has to go through this process? I'm really interested in the outcome of that one. I would like to add a clause in there, whether better focus on the GTLD contracts on technical coordination and stability is a better way to address the problem. So, other than that last clause I just read, all of what I propose should be before you on the council list, and I can send the new version immediately if you want me to.
What I'll do, if you can send something, I'll incorporate it in the minutes and forward it on to the ICANN staff as one of the issues we'd like included in the report. And if others after the call, and I think particularly after...
Bruce?
The, yep?
I'm sorry, Bruce. I think we have to have discussion about this.
Okay. Just to clarify what my understanding is of the process, my understanding is that the staff manager will produce an issues report which will say these are some issues that have been raised in the community. These are issues we think are in scope or out scope or relative to the ICANN mission. So I don't think we are endorsing anything by saying this particular issue is a council issue. I think we're saying this is an issue that has been raised by a member of the community.
Let me speak to that. I think that many of us may have issues that we would like to have addressed, and if you're going to open a queue to identify interest from a wide number of members of the council, I would support including issues that have been identified very broadly, but I will speak against the idea that any issue gets priority in its identification. And that was somehow what was coming across to me.
No, that was not what was intended. Well, at least my intent was that you should certainly raise issues that you think are important, and you can do it either now or on the council list, and I will collect those together. I can minute the discussion of this call, and anything that goes on the council list will also be available for the ICANN staff to look at. On an equal basis.
And I think it would be wonderful to take more input from a wide variety of the counselors.
and that's what I'm doing, Marilyn. I've asked people to join the queue.
That's what I'm waiting on.
Yes. So, do you wish to be in the queue, Marilyn?
I will.
Thank you. I've got Ken. I've got, I think, Philip. Did you want to be in the queue, or you were just raising a point of order earlier?
No, I'm happy not to be in the queue.
Okay, so I've got Ken, then I've got Jeff, then I've got Marilyn. So go ahead, Ken.
Yeah, very quickly, I think it would be a very good idea. You already started to touch on that in your discussions there with Marilyn. I think that we need a reasonable time period to go back and do a little very, very accelerated consultation with our constituents to try to have something formative that we can pass on to council as to what the issues are that we feel need to be included in the staff report. I am not talking about dragging this on by any means. As a matter of fact, the comments I tried to make before that didn't get made were that I'm optimistic we'll be able to stick with this deadline. But I do feel that in light of this passing, we really need to have the opportunity to provide that information on a timely basis to the council. So I'm going to make a proposal, Bruce, just for timeliness, that we try to get constituencies to provide input to ICANN Council no later than, let's say, next Monday, 2400 CET. That would give the constituencies at least some opportunity to do a little bit of consulting. I know it's accelerated. I know it's the weekend. But we're trying to get this done. So what do you think?
So what was your date then, sorry, Ken?
Well, I was going to say either Monday or Tuesday.
I guess this is kind of what I was getting at when I was asking Paul. I'm just a little concerned that a staff report will be produced purely on their experiences with some recent services. And I think there does need to be an opportunity for people within, certainly within the council and in consultation with their constituents, to raise issues that they think are important and should be considered by the staff manager. Now, the problem there, I noticed Paul was talking about the staff manager producing a report in 15 days, and I think there's been comments on the list earlier that it's probably better to do a good job of that report rather than to rush it, because that really sets the scene for policy development process. So I feel more comfortable that we do attempt to first read the letter that Paul has written, and I've heard about it the first time on this call as well, and we put some notes on the council list that you know, can feed through into the staff manager's report. So Milton's already put one thing out, and I guess I'll ask again, well, I've got Jeff and Marilyn in the queue on this call, but I agree, Ken, if we could get discussions with the constituencies and try and get something by early next week on the list. But just as individual submissions, I don't think we need to meet as a council and approve anything. We're just basically collecting input.
Yeah, I'm not asking for political treatises here. I'm asking for each one of the constituencies to try to boil down those issues that they feel should be included. And I think that the 15 days... I'm not exactly sure how Paul defined the starting day, whether that's 15 days from today or...
It's from today, I think, yeah.
Okay, well...
By the bylaws, it is, actually, but...
Well, okay.
15 days from today, just so everyone knows, would be the 31st of October.
Yeah, right. Well, okay. Then I'm going to have to side with you and say, I just from a practical standpoint, there's an awful lot going on between God. Sorry. I'm optimistic, but you're putting pouring water on my head here now.
Okay. But I take your point, and that was the point I was trying to raise with Paul also, that I think there needs to be at least a 7-day period before they even start writing the issues report to you know, get some issues on the table that haven't already been thought about by the staff themselves. I have Jeff in the queue.
Yeah, the first thing is on this date issue, one thing we need to be certain is that the date for the issues report should be before all of our terms end in the Carthage, at the end of the Carthage meeting. So we should have, hopefully, the issues report, or at least our input to the issues report, done by then. It would be a shame if we were in transition to a new, smaller council and had to have this happen in the middle.
Well, just to comment on that, Jeff, so the issues report won't be complete. My expectation is by the end of this council term, which will be basically at the end of the board meeting, I think, on
right.
Thursday.
I'm sorry, I meant our input to the issue.
Our input, I agree with you, yes.
Yes. Second issue, kind of responds to Milton, but adds an issue for the issues report, Milton said that, you know, we're talking about the regulatory body, and one thing that we need to keep in mind is that the only rights under contract that ICANN has right now is to approve the price of a registry service, and that assumes that a registry service is being offered for a price. Technically, under the agreements now, if a registry service is not being offered for a price, then in theory, one could argue quite successfully that ICANN doesn't have a role in approving those types of services. So one thing to add to the issues report or for the council to straighten out is exactly what rights under the agreements ICANN has in the introduction of registry services. And I thought I heard a little bit of that in the letter, but not quite to the satisfactory amount that the council needs to understand before invoking this type of
So can you sort of put that in writing for us, Jeff, because some of that legal argument's a bit hard for me to follow, but if you could put that in writing on the council list as well.
Sure, and then and I'm assuming that the things that were submitted to you before this meeting will be submitted as well.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks.
Marilyn?
I'm primarily going to speak to process and timing. I had been looking at the calendar, and I do consider it impossible for the ICANN staff and myself to travel, be in the air, be offline, go to a number of ICANN meetings through the day, and cooperate in the delivery of an issues report on the last day of the ICANN meeting, which is the board meeting. A couple of things. I think we should pursue, I think all of us want to have consultation with our constituencies and broadly, and I think we should pursue reaching out very quickly to them. We might also pursue having a meeting with the general counsel, if that is going to be the staff manager, and providing dial-in access to that for counselors who are not there while we are in Carthage, and see if we could do that perhaps one morning early or something of that nature, making sure that there is an opportunity to have, to the points that others have made, broader input into the consideration of what goes into the issues report, but still doing it in a time frame which is shortly after the meeting in Carthage, if we are expected to meet the time frame of January the 15th.
Yes. I agree with that. I'll take as an action at this meeting to talk to both John, Jeffrey and Paul, and just sort of talk a bit about the fact that the council does want some time to talk to its constituencies and get some input in, and we should try and do that in the next few days.
Yeah, and with the one point, could you just clarify with him? You know, I heard some people say, well, you know, we've asked for extensions before. I don't want us to find ourselves blindsided by the fact that because we don't meet a deadline that's established by someone else, even when we're advising it's not realistic, that there are consequences to that for council's recommendation or consideration of council's recommendation.
So I'll ask that question again. Try and clarify that.
Right, but just remember, this is Jeff, this is not a timeline set by someone else. This is a timeline set by the bylaws.
The bylaws, Jeff, is quite correct.
But it also has to do with when we, what we agree to.
I think what Jeff's saying is that if we're following the bylaws, we don't get the choice to agree, so we're supposed to follow that. There's lots of other things in the bylaws. For example, the fact that we haven't got the members of the new council elected by 1st of October, for example. So wherever there's a date in the bylaws, they're often somewhat unrealistic.
Okay.
Okay, any other comments? What I might do then is, there has been some discussion on the list regarding meetings occurring in Carthage, and I think that's perhaps something that's worth clarifying. One of the things the constituencies could do, perhaps productively, is to meet together and discuss some of the issues. And I guess by that time we won't have an issues report, but I guess we can at least talk about some of the issues. Am I correct in thinking that such a meeting is being organised? Does anyone want to, Marilyn, want to comment on that? Or?
There's a proposal for an open informational meeting on Monday afternoon that is still being developed, that is open, and there is no exclusion of anyone who is interested. That would be informational, to brief on what wildcards are, et cetera, and including doing a tutorial on the DNS.
Do I need a password or a tattoo? That's all I'm concerned about.
Pardon me?
Do I need a password or a tattoo?
No, you actually have to be wearing a tan trench coat and dark glasses.
Okay, then I'll put my strapless dress away.
Or you have to be willing to cook, Ken, one or the other.
So one of the things that we might try and do if such a meeting was being formed would be to invite the General Counsel to that meeting.
The General Counsel, to my knowledge, is being invited to give a very short fact-based, please point out to us in the contracts what part of the agreements apply to questions of this nature. Just point them out to us, please, so we're not... So, you know, for anyone who is interested in helping to plan that, we're still trying to find a room. It is an open meeting. I think there's been some perhaps misunderstanding. But I think, let me move to a different point. The point that was that we don't, this should not in any way replace the public forum.
Fair enough. Can I also clarify, there's been discussions, and I haven't necessarily followed it all either, that there's a cross-constituency meeting and there's a separate general discussion, is there? Or
and if I go in the queue too late after this?
Bruce, can I ask about the interest of the council chair in the meetings of the constituency?
Yeah, my interest as council chair is merely for information purposes.
Okay. The cross-constituency meeting, which routinely meets at many ICANN meetings, includes the user constituencies, the BC, the ISCCP, and the IPC. Those meetings are informational only. We have often invited guests to come and tell us what they are doing. For instance, in the past, I recall that Milton and a colleague has come and briefed about a paper they published. The at-large advisory committee has been invited to kind of brief on their progress, the CCPLD. NSO, the CCPLDs have come and briefed on their progress in launching. That is Tuesday morning. It's an open meeting, and it's usually published on the agenda of ICANN. It will be as soon as I get the agenda formalized. And people have popped in from time to time and attended, and often spoken from the floor, although they're not members of those constituencies, and that has been welcomed.
Okay, just to be clarifying, I'm not trying to imply that anybody's trying to hold special meetings. I'm merely trying to understand what public meetings are there that will be on the topic of registry services so that those that wish to participate can, on the basis of trying to get the issues clear for the staff manager. So that's the context of my question.
Are we suggesting that all meetings of anybody who participates in ICANN are always public meetings?
I'm not making any claims of asking the question what meetings are available for everybody to attend. That's all I'm asking.
I think I can offer a statement here because I'm the one who raised this. Marilyn, no, the answer to your question, not all meetings require to be open. Certainly if a constituency wants to have an individual meeting amongst themselves, that is certainly fine. However, when you are discussing certain issues, registry services being one, or the possible discussion of a prohibition or putting restraints on registry services,
that such a topic needs to be touched on extremely carefully. I would also make the unsolicited advice to you to have the probably have the general counsel available the entire time to advise you on possible antitrust statements that could come out or discussions that could take place, which would put ICANN as a whole in legal jeopardy.
Okay, I think this might probably get taken off list, but I was really just asking the question, what opportunities or meetings are there going to be on this topic? And it sounds like there's been one organized on a Monday afternoon.
Bruce, let me be clear. I did offer, once Jeff indicated his interest after I'd seen emails that the registry constituency was very cautious, I did offer for the registry constituency to participate in helping to plan that. So we're still waiting to hear from them.
Okay. I think the just on other topics of the agenda for the meeting in Carthage, we also have the UDRP
hey, Bruce,
issue.
Bruce, I'm sorry, this is Jeff. Question on the actual main general counsel, the main GNSO council meeting. Is there a bridge number for that?
I think there will be. I'll leave that to Glenn to respond. One of the things I wanted to do just quickly is run through what the agenda should be for that meeting so that we can get the agenda out soon. That was deferred from the last meeting. We should pick that up again in the meeting in Carthage. I think Glenn's going to post the current status of the top five issues people have raised on the UDRP. And I will try and perhaps collate some of those together and just put out on the list some possible terms of reference for one or more task forces, just for discussion on the council list. The WHO is steering group is working on terms of reference. I think we've got one reasonably stable terms of reference, one that's less stable and one that's really only just beginning. But perhaps the one that's most stable we could consider for the council meeting in Carthage. So that's WHO is, that's UDRP. Are there any other major topics people would like to have on the agenda for the meeting in Carthage?
There's one, but it may have been addressed already. Can I ask? It has to do with my question to you about whether we have an agreement from the board to take up the question of 2 to 3 reps.
I meant to actually raise that with Paul and Jeff while we were on the call, but it slipped my mind. But at most opportunities, I try to remind them of that. Without having seen an agenda for the board meeting, it's hard to comment. Yeah.
Right. Would you send a formal request to them, copy the council, and just so that we're on the record again?
Yes, I'll do that. I have done it a number of times, but yes, now that I've got it.
I know, but I always think the 14th time is the charm.
Yep. Can I also just confirm the status of people's elections? The registries have announced some results. I think registrars are close to announcing results. Can I just get a status report? That's from the business constituency. I'm not sure who else we've got. And the non-commercial constituency, just on where the elections are up to.
The BC can announce results. We've had an election and we have a return of existing representatives.
Okay, and non-commercial?
We were not able to start our election until the 20th of October, and we should have it finished just in time to have the results announced at the right after the first meeting.
Okay, the ISP constituency?
We have not commenced our election. It will start after the Carthage meeting and be concluded fairly quickly after that.
Okay. And we haven't got representatives from intellectual property here, but I suspect what that means is there's probably no point in holding a informal meeting of the new council in Carthage because we won't have it fully populated. What we probably should do is probably try and set a date for November for when the new council meets, and obviously one of its first things to do will be to elect a chair and then take take on the, I suppose, the issues report from the registry services at that point.
Can I first, this is Jeff, if I can ask a question. For those that have conducted elections, have you conducted or are conducting elections, have you conducted it for two reps so that if the board does not take up our issue or votes against our issue, that there'll be a smooth transition to the two reps for the November meeting?
We, NCUC, is having it for two representatives, and if there is a third one that needs to be elected, we will have a special election.
We're taking a different approach. We have elected three representatives, being ever the optimist, and we will devise quickly an approach to deal with an alternative outcome.
Which is so unlikely, it's almost not worth considering.
Okay. But it is good that all the election processes sound like there's some plans in place, and hopefully by the middle of November we will be able to meet as a council again.
Bruce, I would like to ask a question, though. Leaving the council aside, I'd like to ask the present council to think about something. In order to move with the speed of light, which is what I perceive we're being asked to do on the wildcard issue, I would like the council to forming a committee of the present councilors, regardless of the change, that could focus on this particular issue. I am concerned that if we see a significant change in membership, and we have a very short timeline, that we're really going to have a struggle meeting that timeline because of the newness of people or the lack of people as well.
If I can go in the queue.
I don't want this to be a long discussion, but I think that's a good suggestion, and one that I'm just trying to think the timing of when we would do that, because I guess technically we need to wait for the issues report to decide whether we are indeed forming a committee or not.
Right, and I understand that.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Just so we can keep the record straight, it's not a wild card issue, it's a registry service issue. I just want to keep that straight.
Thank you, Jeff. I accept that as a friendly amendment to whatever it was I said.
Yes. The second thing is, as far as using present members, I think I was going to echo what Bruce said. By the time that the issues report is voted on, there'll be a new council, and that should really be decided by the new council. I feel uncomfortable deciding for the new council who's going to preside, especially since really these issues are going to our constituencies, and constituencies as a whole can come up with positions regardless of who their council rep is.
Yep. Okay. I think now's probably the time to end this call. Is there any other questions or comments? Any other business?
And so we're all just going to sing Glenn our arrival time.
Our arrival time in Carthage?
Yeah.
And that's for what, planning the meeting with the GAC?
Yep,
that sounds like a good idea. Okay, well, thank you everybody for attending.
All right, thank you, bye.
Thank you, bye.
Bye.
Bye.